Tomo says, well, hello there. Welcome to another edition of the Blind Handyman Show number, what,
65.
65, and this is the 19th? January 19th, is that right?
It ought to be the 19th.
Is that right,
Matt? Here.
The 19th.
19th of 04. And if you're wondering what's going on, Tom Houston is absent today. He's having some problems. I don't know what his deal is, but he better be here next week, by God. He'll be here next week. He had some little problems today, some little medical, physical kind of problems, as we all have as we stumble toward the tomb. And anyway, here we are. I'm Phil Parr. I didn't have to tell you that. But along with us is Don Patterson. Don, how are you?
Hi, I'm just great.
Bioptic Don. That's
Bioptic
him.
Bioptic Don.
Bioptic.
We'll be riding across the river with Don Patterson soon. He's going to get his bioptic driving license and learn to be actually driving the car. Can you still do the blind handyman if you drive the car?
I'm not sure. We may have to change the name to the Bioptic Handyman.
Well, yeah. Bioptic Handyman. When you learn a lot about it, I want to do a little segment on Blind Like Me about it, about bioptic driving, because we have a lot of partially sighted listeners also.
Yeah, we do.
I'm kind of documenting the ordeal. And
people who could, who might benefit from that sort of information. So we'll do you on a Blind Like Me and talk about bioptic driving. But today we're going to talk about cooking a little bit. We're going to Dale Campbell and his famous Cooking in the Dark show, folks.
All right.
We've all grown to know and love. He's going to make, what's he going to do today?
I wonder if he's not going to do chili today, but I'm not positive about that.
Maybe it is chili today, but I was thinking it was some Cajun recipe, is it?
Boy, with our cold weather, I don't know, but it'd be a fine day for a big bowl of chili tonight.
Chili
today and hot tamales. The Mexican weather forecast. I don't offend any Mexicans who may be listening to us. That's what they used to say. Anyway, I wanted to tell this little... What is that? I keep hearing noises.
Probably my chair squeaking.
I'm not used to doing this, and I don't like it. I like it better than Houston's chair, and I just have to sit there.
Well, we just can't let him take off anymore.
That'll be the trick.
This is getting to be habit for him.
We need it. He's been off two out of 64, I guess. I only missed one out of 64. Shaw, have you ever missed one?
Not yet. Not as of yet.
Our only guy who's never missed a show, Don Shaw.
But one day, it'll happen.
Several misses.
What a loyal, faithful employee you are. If you
one
got,
of these days.
I think employee infers that they
I
pay
think
you
it's
something.
Secret. It's a secret. He's probably trying to stage a takeover coup.
I wish he would. I'd be happy to give it to him. But I think if you said employee, you'd imply that he got paid, and he doesn't.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
There. Okay, any of these folks I told you that filed a name East Texas Access against us? I didn't tell you this, did I?
No.
These folks filed East while our corporation was
dormant. While y'all were away?
Yeah, they filed East Texas Access Networks, and so they're going to let us use the name. But they asked me to come down and speak at their next board meeting.
Now, who are they?
A group in Jasper that helps find jobs for disabled people.
Yeah. They had filed the name and you didn't have it.
And we didn't have it. So they filed East Texas Access Networks.
Yeah.
And we're just East Texas Access.
Yeah, okay.
And so they're going to let us use the name.
Well, what a bunch of nice guys.
And so I'm going to go speak at their next little board meeting, and I think they want to use me as their... They have some blind people, and they don't know anything about blind people.
Okay.
And they figure I do, so what a deal.
Well, they know about the handyman show and list, don't they?
I did. I sent them a big... what they call this? They call these days. They call it a mission statement.
Yes,
statement.
Yeah,
a mission statement. And I sent them one of what we're trying to do, and the audience, the kind of the audience we're trying to. Anyways, you probably heard this corny joke. It's corny. These folks were sitting on the plane, and the plane was a little late taking off, and down the aisle from the back of the plane came walking a guy with a cane and a guy with a guide dog. And everybody thought, oh, this is really funny. Boy, this is a great joke. Well, they walked in the cockpit.
Yeah.
Closed the door. And the plane started moving down the runway. And everybody thought, this is really a joke. And the plane was headed right toward a large body of water. And it got closer and closer and closer. And as it got close, everybody started screaming. And in the cockpit, the co-pilot said, you know, one of these days they're going to scream late and we're all going to die.
What a deal.
I thought it was the best blind joke
pretty good
that I had heard in a long time. We We must not take ourselves too seriously, friends. So how's the house coming?
Well, it's coming along real good. We were out there Friday, and they were about through with the trim inside. Mm-hmm. Brickman still had a few little corners and window ledges to do. He was there today. But we didn't go because of the weather Saturday or Sunday, but we went out there earlier today, and it's all primed inside. Trim is all painted.
Man.
You know, the first coat, the primer coat. And,
yeah.
Painter, and I think the floor guys were, as soon as the painter gets in, maybe today or tomorrow, then the tile guys are going to come and start laying some of their tile. They still have to set the tub, the one tub in the master bath.
They're about to wrap it up, aren't they?
I figure, yeah. Well, you know, the builder told us about 4 weeks we'd be in, I think, every bit of it.
But a guy that knows how to set a tub, that's a two-hour project for him, you know? That's nothing.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Well, the framer's got to come back and build the framework to set it in.
And they'll set it in, and they'll put a board on the front.
And then tile goes over around that.
Now, is this the tub that has the jacuzzi?
Yeah, the jacuzzi,
Yeah, so he'll put your panel on the front so you can get to all them.
Yeah, they have a little cabinet underneath the tub, the way Billy builds them, and they don't tile down there like Emily's in her other house was tiled.
That's the way mine is. There's just a front thing you can take off if you ever had to get to the... I very seldom use mine. I forget about it. But in the wintertime, man, there's nothing like
I love it.
A jacuzzi.
I don't know if I'm the only one anymore because it seems to get popular, but I put a cable TV outlet... And plug in the bathroom because I'm a pop the top on a cool one, get in a hot tub and turn on the news at 5:30. You know.
There's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't want to do it, but I'm a big CNN man. You don't have to have news all day. They don't have news at 5:30. Anyway, we have for your dancing and listening pleasure, folks. Don Patterson is going to read our email. We've blown it up a little bit, and he can. I have some email concerning shop cleaning, Donald.
Okay, yeah, I guess I take it one of these came off the list, or maybe both. But anyway.
I think they both did.
Okay, and the first one here is from Boop, and says, hi, gang. I've seen a lot of topics on this list, but I don't remember anyone talking about cleaning up the shop. Hang on, my earphones are falling down.
All right.
Let me get kind of squared away here.
No hurry.
All right, it says, my husband is sighted, but for some reason, I usually end up with the job of cleaning up sawdust and little pieces of wood and anything else. I still have enough vision to be dangerous, but I know I don't get it all, which is okay. But I do worry about leaning over and cutting my head open on all the sharp edges.
Yeah, which could happen.
They could.
Tools. For example, coming straight out from the handsaw are two pieces of the frame.
Yeah.
I end up putting a pair of gloves or something on them to soften the blow.
Yeah.
I've hit these things so many times. I can turn on every light in the room, but I still feel uncomfortable being in that room.
Mm-hmm.
So, gang, any suggestions? And then she goes on, she said, I did learn one thing the other day. My husband was leaning over the table saw, making a measurement. I turned on the shop vac right at that time, and you should have seen his face. He jumped back and looked at the saw, which he thought had turned itself on. Whoops, I didn't mean to scare him like that. Maybe I should have warned him.
Yeah.
Thanks, Boop. Well, and then we'll read the other one. I think they kind of tie together. There's one basic rule in my shop. Before starting any machine, whether it be a table saw, a drill press, or a shop vac, the person starting the tool must, and I mean must, shout, cutting. This allows me, the blink, to withdraw my hands from any point of danger that I may perceive my hands to be that in, whether they are or not. Let's be careful out there.
That's
KT.
Right.
I think that's Keith
Patterson.
Yeah, and he makes a good point, and I think here on the show, you know, we've stressed
safety.
You don't want to be a nine-fingered guitar player, because we all probably do other stuff with our hands. Other than working with wood. But probably nothing any more dangerous if you're careless.
Yeah. It's amazing, as many blind people as we have come across that do, well, things like the guy, how about the guy that does the brazing with his little in with a little
with the torch.
Yeah, with a little torch
set up.
We have yet to have, and I'm sure we probably will have it sometime. But blind people don't get hurt, I don't think, probably any more often or as often as our sighted brethren, because we are careful. I mean, we understand that all we got between us and absolute nothing is our hands.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you lose your, if you're blind and you lose your hands, you're really in trouble.
And as far as bumping your head on something, I mean, you can do that sighted or blind. It can happen to anybody.
My wife does it all the time.
Yeah, you know.
I think I know there must be other situations, but I do believe that tools, though, in particular, seem to have the sharpest corner. They have nothing there.
That's no lie.
And so I think, you know, a little ingenuity, little maybe save some styrofoam, and then, you know, styrofoam and duct tape may not look the best. But
put around
sure,
the edge of your,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah put
it
on the
sure
corner.
Sure might
of the
keep
things.
You from gashing your head up, because I've done that a time or two, and it's... exactly what she was talking about. Just bend over and forget where you are and stand up, you know, going 90 miles an hour, and it'll knock you down.
I'm very careful nowadays because I could sustain an injury and just go on. Boy, I am. When I bend over, I look very, very carefully in front of me to see what it is. But my wife whacks her head, you know.
Oh, yeah, can happen. Someone suggests, you know, you can do a squat. Just squat straight down, and, you know, chances are then you may not hit anything, you know, from the front. But, I mean, I've done that before and come up and hit my back either on a tabletop or, you know.
Or either I've knocked the crap out of myself going down.
Over
and hit the corner of a table.
Oh, yeah.
Catch your chin on the corner of the table. That's always good.
All of us.
I guess back to Boots' mail about the cleanup. You know, you could, I guess, for starters, and of course that doesn't get it all, is like a lot of the newer saws, or maybe old ones too, have the place for the shop vac. You know, right at that you can
hook the hose
on, and a lot of times turn the vac on before you turn the saw on, and it'll get quite a bit of it.
All professional tools that are really, you know, of any worth of anything have a port on the back that you can tie your shop vac on. And we discussed at length one time, remember the guy that had built the deal that he could, let me think how this went. Now, he could turn his shop vac on from any tool, maybe the tool when he turned it on, turned the shop vac on.
Right.
That was Dale Levins.
We talked about that with a relay where you take a relay that will turn on another relay. And when he turned his table saw on, I believe it was Dale Levins, maybe he'll let us know. But when he turned his table saw on, his shop vac came on, which would be really cool, wouldn't it?
And, you know, and I don't know how reliable they are, and I've still never seen one in the flesh, but I'm going to, and maybe I'll get some more information. But I still think the neatest thing that I've heard about, you know, we've talked about these solar-powered remote lawnmowers that just kind of cut and go on their own. They just cut at random. Well, I have seen on TV a vacuum cleaner that operates similarly.
You just put it
on the floor. It doesn't have the big, tall handle sticking up, and it just kind of goes around. and it just, if it bumps into a wall, it will turn in one direction or the other. And so if you didn't have a lot of nails, say, down on your shop floor, if you're just worried about sawdust, and of course, you'd probably have to really empty it. To me, this sounds like the neatest thing. I don't know what the family cat would think about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I think it might be pretty neat. And the one I think I saw on TV didn't seem to be too expensive. So but I'll try to find more information.
I saw, and I'm going to order this, on CNN this morning, and of course they run these, what they call per inquiry commercials, where if people buy them, they get paid. It's called Autopilot, and it's a deal that you tell it where you are, and it'll tell you how to go where you want to go. And it was only $39, and
I've seen
talked.
It. I've
Did
seen
you
that.
See that?
Yep.
Right.
And it talks, and the speech was knocked out.
Yep. It looks pretty cool.
I'm going to order one. And you know, that might be, of course, things they don't make for blind people are always cheaper because they don't figure that the government's going to buy them for blind people. So they're just for the consumer. But this was $40, $39.95. Of course, there'll probably be $18 shipping and handling charges. Don't handle my stuff,
probably.
And I'll pay the shipping. You know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to order one. I put the number on my little pocket recorder, and I think I'm going to order this Autopilot, because it's supposedly...
Autopilot.
I don't know how you... The only thing is, I don't know how you tell it where you are.
Well,
it's not the one.
It doesn't have GPS.
It'd have to have.
It would have to have, but I'm thinking, I don't know if it has a place that you enter... like a, I don't know if you enter a zip code or a, I saw the same commercial, but I wasn't just kind of on the fly.
Well, if it's a keyboard, I could enter the zip code, or maybe it knows where you are. Maybe you just
maybe
punch where am I.
Maybe it knows where it is, yeah.
It knows, you just punch where am I. Anyway, I'm going to order one if it's good for blind people. Maybe we'll
demo it on a show,
demo it on a show or something.
Yeah, that'd be pretty
neat.
All
right, what else we have to do? Should we go to Dale? What do you think?
I think so.
All right, how do you do
this? Well, are we going to do a break?
Get on with
it. Right at break time? Are we going to do a break first?
It's pretty break. Yeah, let's take it. Let's do a little break to do a break and... Here we go. Dial him up. We'll dial up Dale. Dialing Dale. Dialing for Dale. What a deal. We'll be back. More of the exciting Blind Andy Man Show in just a moment. We'll do a little cooking in the dark, all right? Phil Parr, and probably didn't have to tell you that, but I did anyway. We just wanted to mention that my wife, Lou Ann, and I are supporting Wesley Clark as the nominee for the Democratic Party and eventually to go on and win the presidency in November. We certainly hope so. If you have not committed to a candidate, we'd like to ask you for your support for Wesley Clark. And if you're in doubt and you would like some information about Wes Clark, we'd be glad to send you some. Of course, with no obligation. There'd be no follow-up. We just want you to read about Wes Clark. And if you like him, we'd appreciate your support. You can contact us, of course, at my email address, which is simply Phil Parr, P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R, at txucom.net. We'll send this as a Word document so you can open it with your screen reader. Phil Parr at txucom.net. We'll send you some information about Wesley Clark. Thanks for listening, and we'd appreciate your support. And so would General Wesley Clark, the next president of the United States. What'd you say?
Uh-huh.
Got a moment before you thought there. We don't have our announcer who says, this is the Blind Handyman. If you'd like to email us, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
Right. That's right.
Did he go take the day off with
Tom? I took the day off with Tom.
He took the break, huh?
He's
the
off
big
having,
break.
He's off having to... He can't breathe with Tom, is, I think, is the deal.
Yeah.
Wonder if Tom... I bet five beers would cure Tom's breathing problem. What would you think? I don't know. What would you think, Dale? What would you think?
Five beers would cure my... breathing problem.
You think it would cure your breathing problem? Dale Campbell, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Nice hand for Dale Campbell.
Hey, Dale.
How's everybody doing up there in Buffkin today?
Man, it is sunny, pretty. The prettiest day we've had in probably 10 days, man.
I tell you, us too. It is absolutely gorgeous. And for all of our friends up there north that are freezing and in that freezing temperature, we're going to warm it up a little bit.
Boy, it has
today
been.
Today on Cooking in the Dark.
It has been cold up north, hasn't it?
We are going to melt some ice. For all of our friends listening down in Australia, New Zealand, y'all better turn on the air conditioners. You're going to need it today.
All right.
Here we go.
Cooking chili, y'all.
Cooking chili. All right.
Real deer that was shot with a bow and arrow, of all things.
Is that right? Because it's out of...
Do your little war dance.
It's out of season if you
right
don't...
We got a lot to do today.
Wonder if he can hear us.
We're going to be doing the chili.
Dale can hear us.
I don't think so.
So, Dale, do you have your headphone on? Can you hear
us?
Yeah,
sure do.
I was going to say, bulls that shooting regular deer is out of season. You got to shoot them with a bow and arrow this time.
Yeah, this was actually imported deer, I guess you can call it.
Imported.
My dad sent this down to us just so we could do it on the cooking show.
What a nice guy he is.
What a deal.
So what I had was about a 2.5-pound roast that I took and cut down and kind of ripped apart. Because one thing with deer, it's got that gamey taste in it sometimes.
It is. If you don't marinate it, it does.
Sure does. One little hint my father-in-law gave me about the venison was to kind of pull it apart and scrape it down a little bit because there's that little film, almost fat if you want to call it, in between some of the portions of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And in that is where some little cells grow.
All right.
They're real little. Feel like maybe grains of salt or something. But if the sighted folks can pull those off and kind of get the gamey taste off. So I spent the day yesterday scraping down some of our deer meat, chopping it up. And then I did marinate it overnight in buttermilk.
In buttermilk.
So I have taken it and just put it in the pan here in the pot with about, 2 tablespoons of olive oil to kind of start browning it. We want to let it brown until it's about halfway done. And then we're going to add to it some onions and 4 cloves of garlic, which, Mr. Shaw, I was going to do this earlier, but I saved this for you, sir.
Oh, did you now?
Here we go.
Those are not sound effects, folks.
One little food processor there for Don.
That's right. The big food processor.
He was so happy, man. It was so cool. He had me I'm still waiting for that new food processor to come.
All right.
Cool one like yours.
You'll like it.
That has got to be so sweet, having that little plate in there that will just push the, let the food fall out instead of going into this, into the container, I guess.
Yeah, then yours is the kind you got to take the top off and dump out, right?
Yeah. And that's what I'm doing right now. We're going to add this.
That was a clove of garlic.
Yeah, it was 4 cloves of garlic and
1 medium
onion.
All right.
Just chopped up.
Okay.
And we're going to add this to the meat. And then we want to let it basically saute the onions and stuff until they're, translucent, the recipe says. But.
So, Dale.
Yes, sir.
It's a long time no see.
Exactly, man. How's that new house?
Yeah. Is this 2.5-pound meat is still in roast? It's not ground up yet, or?
No, it's not ground up. What I did was I cut it up into, maybe 1/2 to 3/4-inch cubes.
Oh, okay. It's cubed. Okay.
Yeah. I cut it down to where it's probably not, it's not as fine as like hamburger meat, but
right.
If you've ever bought like chili meat from the grocery store,
right.
It might be that size, if not just a little bit bigger.
Okay.
It's not stew meat size, but
okay.
It's pretty close.
Okay.
All right.
Now, some other stuff we're going to make with our meal today. We're going to do that jalapeno cornbread to accompany it.
Okay.
And then I've also got a little special treat, some jalapeno venison poppers.
What?
Let me tell you, I did a few earlier, and it was awful hard to keep enough left to do on the show.
Jalapeno venison poppers.
They came out delicious.
Well,
I had a couple steaks, venison steaks, and I took them and pounded them down to where they were just about as thick, if not a little bit thicker than maybe real thick, bacon.
Yeah.
And then I cut them into strips that are about bacon width, and I marinated those also in the buttermilk overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a jalapeno pepper, a fresh one if you can find it. The pickles out of the can are fine if you can get, you know, if you can get those too. Slice them in half, and then you know, take a spoon or something and scoop out the inside of it. You know, the seeds and the membrane. If you want to make them a little bit cooler, just use your spoon and kind of scrape out the membrane a little bit on the jalapeno, and that'll cool them off a little bit. And you take a piece of mozzarella cheese, and I used a piece about 3 inches long, cut in a cube. You know, it's about a half inch by a half inch by about 3 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
Nestle that inside that nice jalapeno, wrapped it up just like you would a shrimp brochette or something with that venison, just wrapped it right around it in a spiral formation. And put it on the old George Foreman for about 7 minutes.
Oh, man.
What
a
deal. Was delicious.
That sounds so good.
Tell you what, y'all can be down here in a heartbeat. We'll have some of those.
Yeah, what a deal, man.
Come on down.
Yeah.
Well. All right. This stuff is cooking up really nicely. To the chili. Now, of course, with chili, y'all can't go wrong with chili. Whatever you want to put in it, put in it. On the cooking list, we had a big debate about, you know, beans or no beans. Traditional chili had beans. It doesn't matter. If you want to put beans in it, put beans in it. I put mushrooms in mine. At the chili cook-off that'll be coming up here at the Houston Rodeo at the end of February, there's no telling what you'll find in the chili.
Well, but now they won't take you if you have beans in it.
Now they won't, huh?
No. I don't know how I know that, but I don't think they'll take you if it's got beans.
Wow. That goes back to what old Charles wrote in on the cooking list, saying the traditional chili did not have beans in it.
Well,
all the northerners that started putting beans in them.
We have a guy here who puts beans in chili every time, don't we? Mr. Don Patterson.
Yes, sir. I do, but I think I agree. The purists, I believe, have no beans.
Yeah.
I think
right. So we're going to be doing today, ours is pretty much a lot of options, whatever you want to add to it.
That's true.
We are going to need about a third of a cup of chili powder.
Okay.
And 1 tablespoon of Mexican oregano.
Yep.
1 tablespoon of ground coriander seeds.
Okay.
And 1 tablespoon of cumin.
All right.
Also, we're going to need 2 tablespoons of miso, which is, or corn flour.
Yeah.
Which is just the mesa. I know I'm not pronouncing that properly.
I think it's masa.
Masa.
Masa. That's the Spanish pronunciation, isn't it?
Right.
Masa.
The masa is what they actually make tortillas out of.
Yeah.
We're going to take 2 tablespoons of that and add that to about 1/4 cup of water.
Uh-huh.
And shake it up and add that to the chili when it's near its completion. Okay, this is simmering up really nicely, so I'm going to get ready to add the spices.
Uh-huh. Now, you don't use Wick Fowler, you don't use regular chili mix, you make your own seasoning.
Yeah, I make my own. I use my own seasonings and everything. Now, if you don't have all this stuff around your house, pick up at the grocery store, I know you can find it. It is called 2-Alarm Chili.
Uh-huh.
And in that, it has, basically all it is just the seasonings.
It is, we bought that.
It does have a package of chili powder.
Yeah.
Yep.
It has the oregano. It has the cumin. It does not have the coriander seed, so you'll need to add that yourself.
Okay. Now we're talking about Wick Fowler stuff, right?
Yeah.
What's that?
And what it had.
That's Wick Fowler chili. Yeah.
All right. That's that. Now, if you want to, you can turn this up a little bit by adding a little red pepper to it.
Yeah.
About a tablespoon or so.
But now, isn't there a package of pepper in there, and you just don't add all of it if you don't want it quite so hot?
Yeah, and the 2-Alarm, that's the way it is. Yeah. You can control the temperature of your chili, so to speak, simply by either adding more, you know, or less of the actual chili powder itself, and also the red pepper that's in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
I know some folks that, they don't even need heat to cook their chili. They just put everything in and let it cook itself, you know.
Put
a little dash of salt in there. I tell you, I picked up these salt shakers. A friend of yours, Mr. Shaw, Steve, ordered these salt shakers. And I was like, you know what? I think those would be a pretty good thing to have. And they actually allow you to press on the top of the salt shaker, and you can change the settings, but you can dispense anywhere from a dash to a pinch to 1/4 teaspoon of salt or whatever ingredient you put in the shaker. just by pushing down on the top of it.
In other words, when you have it set to a pinch and you push it down once on the top, it gives you a pinch of salt.
Right.
Well, what a deal.
Yeah,
where did he get
handy.
Those?
He sells them.
BlindMySmart.com.
That's right.
You got them at BlindMySmart.com.
We got them at BlindMySmart.com.
Yeah,
we
Larry.
Sure do.
Yeah,
and on, speaking of blind mice real quick,
all right.
I'd like to let everybody know that our scholarship program is looking really good this year.
All
we've
right.
got, I think we're going to be looking at almost $1,000 worth of money for scholarships.
Very good.
That was in part to everybody that shopped at Blind Mice Mart, because all the sales there go to proceeds, you know, everything goes to the scholarship fund. And then also Ann Morris of Ann Morris Enterprises, she made a nice donation to us as well, which was greatly.
Very good.
Oh, man, we're so thankful for that. So
excellent.
If everybody will hit the website, www.blindmysmart.com, by the 1st of February, all the details and the information for the scholarship fund will be up online under the link Mouthful Scholarship.
Hmm.
At which time everybody can write in, send those essays in, and let's send us some kids to school.
Yeah. Mousehole Scholarship.
Mousehole Scholarship.
That's amazing.
What a deal, man. That's great.
That is awesome. I'm
it
really,
is.
Really thrilled with that.
I love
okay,
it.
Now cool. We're going to add to this, since we're everything's browned up pretty much, I'm going to add one can of tomato sauce.
This is to the chili.
Yeah, that's going into the chili.
You've had ground venison browning all this time?
Yeah, the venison's been browning all this time.
Okay.
And then we added the onions to finish letting it kind of brown out, if you will.
Okay.
And saute the onions and the garlic and get all that mixed up. Then you add the spices and let it cook for about another 5 to 6 minutes after you add all the spices. And make sure you keep stirring it and moving it around so it doesn't burn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just like you would ground meat.
Right. Now what I've done, I've added 1 8-ounce can of tomato sauce. I've added 2 cans. They're about 14 ounces. Or no, I'm sorry. They're about 10 1/4 ounces, about the size of a can of soup, of Rotel tomatoes. And the Rotel tomatoes are a spicy diced tomato with some peppers and such in them. And they're great, too, if you just add them to some Velveeta cheese. Add a can of those to, like, a big block of Velveeta cheese and melt all that cheese down.
Make a dip.
Queso.
And make a big dip.
Yeah.
Just in time for the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Now, at this stage, what we want to do, if you want to add beans, add beans. If you want to add okra, add okra. Add whatever you want to this chili. Now's the time to do it.
All right.
I've got, personally, a big package here, a pint flat of mushrooms. I'm tossing in mine, some sliced white mushrooms.
But now, beans, if you wanted to add beans, would you cook those pre the chili, or let them cook? Just let them cook with the chili, or what?
If you want to add beans, just toss them in.
Yeah.
What you'd want to add is traditionally, like, kidney beans,
yeah.
A can of red kidney beans, or a can or so of black beans. Any of that you could add to it. If you add the kidney beans, add those undrained.
Yeah.
Your black beans, if you go to add those, you need to wash them first.
Yeah.
And then toss them in there.
Okay, but don't put a handful of pintos in there.
No, don't put any pinto beans
in
there.
Not uncooked.
Don't put any beans in there, period, really.
Yeah.
Now, some armadillo meat, put that in there. A little rattlesnake, yeah, we can put that in there.
Traditional
okay,
chili.
Okay, coming along nice. Now, for the secret ingredient.
All right.
Everybody in the Ohio-Cincinnati area will know what I'm talking about here. We're adding 1 cube of
beef bouillon.
Sweetened chocolate.
Huh?
Now, when you buy this bitter chocolate, it's unsweetened baker's chocolate. It comes in nice little cubes already in the package. And you want to take one of those, grate it down, and it comes out to be, oh, I don't know, maybe 1/8 cup of chocolate.
A cube of chocolate?
Uh-huh. You grate it up, and it comes, like I said, it's about an eighth of a cup of grated chocolate.
I don't know, in Texas.
There's a company in Cincinnati called Skyline Chili, and that's one of their secret ingredients is chocolate.
I've heard
now
of it.
Then they serve it over spaghetti. They don't serve it over Fritos.
I wouldn't do that at the chili. I wouldn't do that at the chili cook-off either if I were you. They won't like you if you put chocolate in your chili.
But they'll like the next ingredient I'm fixing to put in it.
What is that?
Y'all know what that was?
Yeah, it's a cold beer.
That was a nice, yep, one Texas beer.
You can't fool us, boy.
Right.
There's no fooling us.
We actually, this recipe calls for one beer, but I suggest two. One for the chili.
And one for
one
you.
One for the cook.
That's right.
That's right. One to drink.
You got to taste it as you're going on there.
Yep.
All right. We got the beer in. Now we need to add just about half a cup of water. Let me find my measuring cup right here.
Uh-huh. What a deal, man.
And that's it with the chili, y'all. We
chili
need to let it
radio.
Kind of, it's at a boil right now. What we're going to do is stir it up one more time pretty well.
How long are you going to let it simmer for?
Simmer. We need to let it simmer for about 45 minutes.
Okay.
Now, this is the cubed deer meat that you're making this with? Okay, so you did the garlic and onions first,
We did was put about 2 tablespoons of olive oil in the pot or the skillet, however you want to cook it, depending on how much you're making.
Yeah.
And then I added to it once that it got warm or hot. I added to it the meat and let it brown until it was about halfway done being browned, which is it takes about 4 or 5 minutes, I guess.
But there'd be no grease, so you could do this in the same pot you did the chili in.
Yeah, sure do. Yeah, you definitely want to do it in the same pot. You don't want to rinse it or strain it or drain it or anything.
Well, with hamburger meat, I always drain it because there's any grease. Make sure.
Yeah, that hamburger meat, boy, especially if it's that. I've been buying. Sometimes when I buy hamburger meat, I buy that real, real lean stuff, like 97%, 99% lean
grease.
Yeah, very little grease.
Not only
there.
Is there not a lot of grease in it, but it's got a great taste in it.
Yeah, it does.
It almost tastes like you're eating a steak instead of just an old burger.
Ground steak.
All right,
steak.
So now I'm going to turn the heat down on this.
All right, well, I'll tell you what let's do. Before we get anything else, you want to just take a break when you get kind of ready?
Let's do that.
All right, let's
I'm ready for that. And when we get back, I've got a huge announcement about the Cooking in the Dark with.
That's a good deal. Back with more of the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute. It's Phil Parr, and probably didn't have to tell you that, but I did anyway. We just wanted to mention that my wife, Luann, and I are supporting Wesley Clark as the nominee for the Democratic Party and eventually to go on and win the presidency in November. We certainly hope so. If you have not committed to a candidate, we'd like to ask you for your support for Wesley Clark. And if you're in doubt and you would like some information about Wes Clark, we'd be glad to send you some, of course, with no obligation. There'd be no follow-up. We just want you to read about Wes Clark, and if you like him, we'd appreciate your support. You can contact us, of course, at my email address, which is simply philparr, P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R, at txucom.net. We'll send this as a Word document so you can open it with your screen reader. Philparr at txucom.net. We'll send you some information about Wesley Clark. Thanks for listening, and we'd appreciate your support, and so would General Wesley Clark, the next president of the United States. Little guy's dancing on the keyboard, isn't he?
Now here's Bill Parr. We don't have. What happened to those guys?
Those guys?
They took off with Tom today.
They're gone.
Man.
They're gone with. They're
must
gone.
Be like Tom and Band in a box, right? I mean, he just takes them with him.
He takes them with him.
Probably.
Well, they're on the
union,
computer.
Boy.
I don't know how to do it. I've got him on a CD, but I forgot about him.
Okay.
I didn't think we'd need him. We had Dale. What the hell do we need them for?
That's right.
We have Dale Campbell. How are you, sir? You back?
Man, doing great. The chili is chilling. I'm sure the temperature just went up north a little bit.
I imagine so.
But I imagine them folks in Philly, they're still feeling awful frigid.
Oh, it's cold in Philly.
Man.
Carolina, our southern boys went up there and spanked them. Gotta like that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. We are ready to move on to some cornbread. Y'all ready to do a little jalapeno cornbread?
You bet.
Cornbread.
The simple way. Basically, all this recipe is, it's real simple. 2 packages of sweet cornbread mix, 6-ounce size that you can pick up at your grocery store.
Yep.
All right. 4 eggs, and I'm whisking them together right now, kind of beating them up a little bit.
With a whisk.
Yep.
Then to that, we want to add 1 1/3 cups of buttermilk. So this all worked out really well because I bought a quart of buttermilk. I used all but 1 1/3 cups of it to marinate our
deer meat.
Deer meat in.
Yeah. You sure wouldn't want to have any buttermilk left. At least I wouldn't.
Yeah, you talk about a bitter beer face.
Well, I make my wife put it in the back of the fridge. She keeps some all the time because she makes cornbread 2 or 3 nights a week. So.
Right.
I'm always afraid of dumping it on the cereal. I sniff real, you know. Well, that wouldn't be worth a damn on your Cheerios.
It wouldn't, would it?
Can it be like you bear spray for
deal? You're going to have to put a disclaimer up, let everybody know there might be some buttermilk lurking around back there somewhere.
Be like using hairspray for what, Pat?
For deodorant.
Yeah. You know?
Buttermilk on your cereal. I couldn't deal with it.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Gay for toothpaste.
Yeah.
That's right. Blind guys do that kind of thing.
Right, right. We don't want to go there.
No,
all right.
Really.
In the bowl here, I've tossed in the eggs and the buttermilk and the mix for the cornbread.
All right.
Let me find my blender here and get this all blended up.
Fire up that blender.
About medium low to medium, just for a couple minutes. Get a nice good batter going here. Now, we're going to want to bake this in the oven at about 350 degrees, so make sure you got your oven preset. And you want to put it in a 9x13 cake pan. Make sure you grease that thing down either with some shortening or some butter so that the cornbread won't stick to it when it comes out. All right, that's perfect.
Well.
Now for the good stuff.
That was a mixer, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was a mixer, not a blender.
Yeah, that was a little mixer going there.
That's what I thought.
Little hand boy.
I could hear you holding those beaters down in the pan, in the bowl so they wouldn't jump out.
Yeah, you don't want to have that happen.
Yeah.
That happens only once.
Yeah, that's right. People only do that once, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, I'm dumping in now. I've got a little 7-ounce can of sliced, pickled nacho jalapenos.
Now what?
Pickled jalapenos?
They're sliced jalapenos that have been pickled.
Uh-huh.
But they're made, they've got the title for nachos, so I guess they're on there for nachos.
Uh-huh.
And to that, we're also adding 1 1/2 cups of corn, frozen corn.
Yeah.
That I've had thawing out for a little bit. And then we also need to add 10 ounces of cheddar cheese. And darn the luck, I've got a block of cheese here, so let me grate that.
Well, all right. We'll.
There's the food processor.
What? That really took a long time, didn't it, man?
Y'all watch Don Shaw over there, because he'll be heading out to the garage to get some power tools in a second.
That's right.
Yeah. Cooking with power tools.
That's it.
Heck, yeah. We get more tools like this going on, there'll be a whole lot more guys cooking, I'm sure.
I guarantee you, man.
Yeah, we got my brother and his wife for Christmas. We got him a coffee pot, but, of course, it was a Black & Decker coffee pot. So.
All these appliances, man. What a deal.
All right. Now we've added in our cheese, our jalapenos, and our corn. And we're just going to simply mix all that up and then pour it in the bowl, or the pan, I guess you could call it, the cake pan.
All right.
And bake it at about 350 for just about 25 minutes.
So we're going to miss it, aren't we, huh?
Yeah. Y'all are going to, man.
All right, but the chili...
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Y'all hurry. It'll be ready to serve about the time you get here.
About the time we got there.
Something else I'm going to do just before the... When the chili... After the chili is simmered for about 45 minutes, you want to add the little flour and water concoction.
Yeah, that makes
it... And a little tip for everybody that when you need to mix this up is I put the water in just a jar... I'm going to heat it in the microwave, then I'm going to add the flour mix to it, put the lid on it, and just shake the heck out of it, and then just dump it right in.
So that flour will already be dissolved?
Just make sure it's good and dissolved and mixed up.
Good idea.
That's good.
That was a little tip that came across on the old blind handyman, or the cooking in the dark list.
Great idea there.
And now, I guess, for the announcement of the cooking in the dark list, since we've gotten...
What were you going to announce? What is our special?
We have moved...
Again?
Yeah, we were running into a lot of problems with Topeka. Actually, Topeka, where we were used to be at, was getting blacklisted because of some sort of spam configuration that's something behind the scenes in the programs that we're running. But ISPs, Internet Service Providers, everywhere were blacklisting them, and they would not approve them to allow mail to be delivered.
Now, Topica is strictly a blind thing, right?
Topica is simply like a Yahoo group.
Okay,
it is strictly just for lists. Email groups.
Okay, but there are other lists besides blind people's lists.
Right. Okay. Yeah, there was a lot of them on there.
Okay,
but we were running into problems where, like, for instance, Roadrunner got blocked, and not only did Roadrunner get blocked just locally, but anywhere there was a Roadrunner connection. Be it South Carolina, be it North Dakota, be it Austin.
Not good.
Half the list got blocked.
Have you gone back to Yahoo?
Nope. We ended up moving to acbradio.org.
Uh-huh. Acbradio.org.
So we're going to give them a try. I was researching all this and looking into Yahoo, and we had so many problems with Yahoo because we had so many people coming in and coming off the list that it was a problem with actual email. Sometimes they would unsubscribe from the list and they continue to get email.
Okay.
Go in as the list owner to try to unsubscribe them. They weren't listed there anyway. So there was nothing we could do about it.
So you contacted the ACB radio people and they let you do that?
I actually contacted the ACB folks, and the same lady, Erlene, that does the ACB list also does the ACB radio list.
Uh-huh.
Very
and
good.
She has agreed to. They've agreed to move us there. So that is actually in the works right now.
Okay.
So by the time this airs, this is Monday. By the time this airs, we will officially be on at acbradio.org. And again, it's cooking in the dark at acbradio.org.
At acbradio.org, cooking in the dark. But this will be aired on Friday, so you'll already be there, right?
So we will already be there. Again, to subscribe, if you're already a member of the cooking list, don't worry about it. You're going to be moved automatically.
Good
idea. If you're not, cooking in the dark -subscribe at acbradio.org, and that'll get you on the list.
Okay.
Or you can email me at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com. And I can go in and get you subscribed as well.
Yeah.
Very good.
So I'm hoping this is going to work out with a lot fewer problems. We've had a lot of members. We had some great members in Hawaii and New Zealand and Australia, a couple in Michigan, a couple in Maine that got bumped off and could not get back reinstated. Simply their ISPs would not let them back on.
Yeah. Topica.
That was really discouraging.
Topica may have some problems going with them. I've heard that before in other places.
And when we first started the change to Topica, some members wrote in and said, hey, be careful, watch them, this, that, and the other.
Uh-huh.
And, I looked into Smart Groups also, and Smart Groups, everybody was telling me there was a problem with them going up and down all the time.
I've heard that.
So I'm trying to find, golly.
Yeah, it's hard to find.
All we can do is see how it goes.
This lady who has all these lists for blind people, this Pete's Talk thing, Shaw, where is that? What service is that they using?
They have their own list service.
They have their own list service.
They sure do, just like ACB Radio does.
Uh-huh.
I'll be
and actually what she's going to do is she's going to list us on the ACB site and also on the ACB Radio site.
Uh-huh.
Well, that'd
be good. I haven't followed through or checked up on it, but a member recently emailed me and told me I think we can get a chat line. Also through ACB Radio.
Yeah,
because ACB Radio does have a chat room. I know that chat room.
So, come February, who knows what's going to happen?
So you might do a Cooking in the Dark show every day on the chat room.
No.
No.
I'm just trying to help you, Dale. Just trying to help you.
Yeah, tune in. No, but it would be nice to be able to put some some voices with the names and stuff and meet some people.
Yeah,
I've had the luxury of meeting a lot of people across the list just simply from, selling the aprons and through Blind My Smart and things like that. So that's really nice.
Yeah.
To be able to talk to other people. So here we are for dessert, y'all.
Okay.
Now, I was thinking, what would be great after a hot, hot bowl of chili and an ice-cold beer to wash it down with? And I came up with this idea for a little ice cream cake pie, I guess you can call it.
All right.
And it is very simple. I've taken a bag of Oreo cookies, basically about 25 of the cookies, and crushed them up.
That'll work.
I put them in a Ziploc bag and got the old rolling pin out.
That's a good start.
And crust them all up nice and soft, nice and soft for the base. Now put the Oreo cookies, in the bottom of a springform pan. The ice cream I selected was chocolate chip mint. But don't limit yourself to that. Use whatever you, I mean, if it's just vanilla, chocolate chip, whatever kind of ice cream you like. I let the ice cream sit in the refrigerator for about 4 hours to start to soften and melt.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Took it out, put it in a bowl. Let me stir the bowl up here. Stir the ice cream up to get it to be a little bit creamy. Okay.
Right.
Now I'm just simply going to take the ice cream, pour it into the springform pan over the top of the Oreo cookies.
All right.
And then return it to the freezer and let it freeze.
And that's it.
And that is it.
That's the whole deal?
That is the whole deal right there.
That's a dessert that's simple, huh?
Yeah, that is it. Now, to garnish it, I'm going to garnish it with some crushed Oreos, you know, a few that I have left over. There's mm-hmm. about five or six of them left over after I've been snacking on them.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, what a confusing nightmare that was to select Oreos. You know, I need some Oreo cookies. Well, what kind?
Yeah.
My goodness, there's mint, there's chocolate now, there's chocolate chip, there's, you know, the double stuff. Oh, my gosh, there's about 10 different kinds of Oreo cookies anymore.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they make a bunch of different
kinds. I was like, what in the heck am I going to do with all that?
Yeah.
All right, so dessert is done. We have got the cornbread in the oven, baking,
all right.
And our chili is going.
So we're going to be ready to eat here in a few minutes.
We are ready. Mm-hmm. Now, so how about we do some poppers, y'all?
All right.
Yeah,
all right. That's good.
Let me get this ice cream here in the freezer.
Okay.
I was trying to stick it in the refrigerator, and, you know, that's probably not going to work.
That won't work. It won't work at all.
That ice cream sounds good, though. That sounds like a great dessert.
And it's easy enough to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, something. I was just wanting something that was going to be quick and easy and nice and cool, too, after that hot meal.
Yeah,
these
peppers.
And refreshing.
Pepper
and I, myself,
poppers.
I'm a pretty much a nut for chocolate chip ice cream.
Yeah. What is that running? What do you have going there? What was that?
Oh, that's the freezer.
Oh, okay. That was the freezer.
All yeah. Right.
We heard roaring there.
Yeah, I thought he had another. It's another exciting blind-friendly appliance that you had on there.
Something fixing to take off or something.
Really, that's what it sounded like to me. All right, dessert. Now, these poppers, how do you do them? I have no...
The poppers, what I've done is taken the jalapenos, sliced them in half.
All right.
And then I scooped out all the seeds and the membrane, if you will.
Yeah.
Now, the more you scrub on them or scrape out the inside, the cooler the jalapeno will get.
That's true.
And the hotter your hands may get.
Yeah, make sure if you've got sensitive skin, get somebody else to do it or wear gloves.
Yeah, because they'll burn you if you're not careful.
Seeds can.
So after you do that, what I took mozzarella cheese and sliced it into pieces that were about 2.5-3 inches long, mm-hmm. and about a half inch by half inch or so.
So these are about as long as the pepper, is the actual body of the pepper.
Yeah,
okay.
One of them the same length as the pepper.
All right.
Now, the deer meat, like I said before, I took a deer steak, pounded it out to get it thin, and I was shooting for a thickness about that of like a real thick slab of bacon, or maybe just a little bit thicker than thick bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cut it down into strips that were about as wide as a piece of bacon.
Okay.
And then from there, you just simply put the cheese in the jalapeno. And then wrap the deer meat around in a spiral formation, you know, all the way around. Start at the top and work it around and down to the bottom of the jalapeno.
Put a toothpick in it?
Put a toothpick in it if you'd like. I found that with this the deer meat, so with it pounded down, it's really nice and lean and mm-hmm. wasn't really falling off.
Really?
So you just wrap these
really
around in a spiral around the jalapeno.
Yeah, and then I've turned the George on, and I've got him preheating right now.
Oh, my heavens.
What a deal, man.
What a deal. That sounds so good.
After I've set the timer on George for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Jalapenos on there and close the lid. When I cooked them before on a hot George, I cooked them for just about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And they came out absolutely marvelous.
Man, great. Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, those of you folks who don't have a George Foreman grill, are you selling those on Blind Mice Mart yet?
Yes, we sure are.
As a matter of fact, you are, huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
And they are, the ones that we have are a little bit larger than the smaller size. They're advertised as saying you can get four burgers on there, but
Yeah.
Before, you know, they're not Whoppers. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we can put three chicken breasts on it.
Yeah.
But one thing I like about it, it does have a timer on it.
Yeah.
So, I can push the button like 1, 2, 3 times. That every time you press it, it's a minute. So
yeah.
3 minutes.
All right.
And then push start. You know, it'll count down. Once it counts down to zero, it shuts itself off.
I have that one, and then I have the little bitty guy that'll only hold two small chicken breasts.
Right.
And if you just, you know, just me, Luann and I, I keep it out on the counter all the time. It's the thing to have.
Oh, yeah.
That is excellent.
Well, you know what? We've done one.
It's time to go, huh?
We're out of time.
I wish y'all were here to help enjoy this. Chili.
Well, tell us where we can get these recipes and
come
a little about Blind Mice Mart.
BlindMiceMart.com. That's www.blindmicemart.com. And click on the Cooking in the Dark link.
All
the recipes from this month's show will be on there, as well as archives or a on-demand link to the old cooking shows.
Mm-hmm.
You can find those there.
All right.
We're also going to start something new. We're going to start posting some information. Links to other websites, you know, crafts and other cooking sites like mm-hmm. such, as well as any articles or information that our members on the email list might have to send to us. Yeah. We just got a wonderful message from Armando about that new, you know, the new Atkins diet, the low carbohydrate diet.
The Atkins diet.
Atkins
diet. Yeah.
That has been going around since 1863.
Well, I was going to say, it's not new.
It's not new at all.
All right, give us the address right quick. We're about out here.
All right. It's http://www.blindmysmart.com. And also the cooking list is cookinginthedark-subscribe@acbradio.org.
All right, sir.
All right. Hey, I'm Dale Campbell, Cooking in the Dark. You guys have a great day, and pop a top for me, please.
We will, sir. We'll talk to you in a day or two.
All righty.
All right, Dale Campbell and a little Cooking in the Dark on the Blind Handyman Show. We're sorry that Tom Houston couldn't be here today, but maybe he'll be back next week. What do you think, guys?
Well, he better not take all the other guys with him.
Thank you, Don Sean, Don Pat.
Yeah, enjoy.
Yeah, man.
We'll see you next week for more of the Blind Handyman. Don't forget to join our list. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.